The fastest growing entertainment industry in the world. More than movies or music, video games are making their mark. Online video games are the newest craze. So what draws people into these whimsical worlds and keeps them hooked for hours? Our own Molly Thomas looked into the issue and she joins us now in the studio. Hello, Molly.
Hello, Curtis.
So tell me, Molly, just how big is this industry?
Well, Curtis, in Canada alone, the gaming industry generated $2 billion last year. To put that in perspective, Canadians spent just over half that amount in foreign aid. So growing is probably an understatement. I think it's fair to say that the industry is booming.
So who's making this industry boom?
Well, it's really a wide range of ages. From kids to adults, everyone seems to have the video game bug. The Entertainment Software Association of Canada says males make up 65% of the playing audience. I spoke with one avid gamer, Greg Elkinton, who thinks his gaming habits actually help him.
I had a leadership position within my group of friends, or guild as you would call it, and I now manage a restaurant in the city, and all those skills are the exact same thing. I did the same things at work that I do online, organizing people, making sure that everyone's doing their jobs and everything. And really, I guess I took what I learned there in the game to my new job position, and it's really just...
So these skills appear to be transferable, which is a bonus considering more and more adults play online. Did you know that the average age for a gamer in Canada is 35?
Wow, so it's not just kids anymore.
Not at all. And these middle-aged people are playing more violent games. World of Warcraft, Counter-Strike, and Call of Duty are consistent favorites. But if gamers are older and hopefully wiser, they should be able to handle this violence.
So we've got this industry that's booming and both genders are involved and more middle-aged, conscientious consumers. It seems to be the perfect hobby.
Yeah, not only a great hobby, but much more than that. I have to admit, I've often held the stereotype of a nerdy teenager with glasses on, living in filth while engrossed in a virtual world, but much to my surprise, my interviewee was nothing like that. 23-year-old Greg Elkinton is an athletic, attractive manager from Brewster's. The online phenomenon has radically changed his life, and I should say, also opened my eyes to a whole new side of gaming.
We all play together, but we play to progress, I guess. You know, you wouldn't think any differently of somebody who went to, say, practiced for something three times a week. But, you know, lots of people question, you know, going online and playing with people because you don't know them. The truth of the matter is that, like I said, I've met all these people, and I've stayed at their houses. I met their girlfriends. We've gone out. They're as good of friends to me as people in real life. In fact, I'd say a lot of them would probably help me out when a lot of people I know in real life wouldn't.
So on one hand, there's team-building skills, but the more intriguing part to me was the unique online community. I went to sociologist William Stahl, who specializes in technology and society, to see if these communities are growing as fast as the industry.
Yes, there are indeed. There are online communities, but not nearly so many as there are talked about. Not everyone playing the game is going to be in a community. And so again, you have to look very carefully at the actual interaction. Do we have people who interact with each other over a long period of time? In other words, the people on your team stay together for a while. Or is this a bunch of one-night stands, essentially?
A bunch of one-night stands. Man, he caught my attention with that line. Did that surprise you?
A little surprising lingo from a university professor. But nonetheless, if you weigh these questions against Greg's group of gamers, they seem to measure up. Continuity-wise, they've been playing together for 5 years. Accountability-wise, they consistently come out to play. And they even interact outside the game, taking their connectivity to a whole new level.
So it seems like they're a really unique bunch.
They really are. And not only unique for their close-knit community, but also because they're a part of the 6% in Canada that plays over 20 hours a week.
20 hours? Isn't that a little excessive?
Well, not exactly. The average Canadian spends around 20 hours doing active leisure activity. That's playing sports or socializing with others. So the issue isn't really the time, it's the amount focused just on video games. So this community, although valuable, can also be dangerous. Greg said he once played 72 hours straight.
72 hours? So when does this become a health problem?
That's the tricky part, Curtis. In Canada, video game addictions are not a recognized health problem. However, Online Gamers Anonymous, a US-based video game support group, thinks they should be. They recently started a chapter in London, Ontario, and run a 12-step program to recovery. I spoke with their founder, Brad, and he gave me an update on the Canadian situation.
I think that more and more we're beginning to see it as an issue. I think the people that recognize it first are parents, friends, and spouses of gamers. I think it's in other countries in Asia, for example, South Korea, China, Japan, it's recognized as a public health issue. Here, most of us play privately in our homes.
So this issue of isolation is the irony of the online community. These new games apparently connect some, like Greg and his friends, and disconnect others, like Brad, who had to kick the habit to save his life.
So what you're saying is a toss-up with these games. Some good for some, bad for others.
As with everything, balance is key. And if you can moderate your gaming habits, you could be connected with a community you never expected.
Very interesting, Molly. Thanks for coming by.